Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Yeah, what do we say, everybody? We're feeling good. It is a Tuesday edition of Moneyline on Sports Grid Radio. I am Kevin Walsh, of course. Donnie Wrightside, right here, Sirius XM, channel 159. Donnie, how you feeling?
Feeling good in the neighborhood here on a Tuesday afternoon baseball. A little bit better game than they provided with us yesterday. So we now have Boston and Detroit about to have first pitch in about, 10 minutes right now? Rich Hill versus Alexander, the battle of lefties. Two bad lefties on the mound today.
Man, listen, I think it's going to be a fantastic game because I have the over nine runs in this game. It was something I felt good about. Donnie gave a bit of a breakdown this morning that made me feel even better. It was at plus 100 on DraftKings, minus 110 FanDuel, minimal difference there. Ultimately, you know, I don't think people are, Donnie and I sometimes joke, I like it at over 9 plus 100, but over 9 minus 110, I couldn't possibly see how that bet's a winner. I feel good about it. I think as well, and I know for a fact, it's the first game for myself and Donnie that will start at 1 o'clock on this show. So I'm happy to have my pregame bet. No matter what, won't stop me. I'm hoping we find some in-game value.
Yeah, let's see what we have here. Looking at another couple numbers here. First five innings wager, looking at BetMGM, over 5 plus 100, but 4.5 is a minus 130 price. 4 is minus 175. So to have some fun in this one, I'll go first five innings because we should be clear of that, you know, once we wrap up the show, I guess you like to say. So I'm going to go ahead here and take over 4.5. And I'm going to place that wager right now, minus 130. So that's first five-inning wager. So just have some fun, watch it play out. Because if I do like the over, I'm not really too excited about both of these pitchers. And I don't want to leave it up to any, you know, bullpens shutting it down. So again, theory being, if they get five runs across in the first five innings, probably a good idea that they're going to push nine across or more over the full amount of the game.
Similar to our breakdown yesterday around the Rays, whether you do a full game or the first five, and it's all connected. And it didn't work out with the Rays game, but it's again what was not surprising that it didn't work out both ways. It was not kind of a one or the other situation there ultimately in that game. We don't have to go through them yet, Donnie, but have you started to circle up today's board a little bit in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, a couple I like here. Also, we'll talk about the NBA a little bit later in the show, too. As we know, the playoffs, or should we say the play-in games, are starting. But I actually like Colorado and Texas. I took that full game over 9.5 at a minus 130 price. But I have to say also, if there's a team total here, and I didn't actually, bet it yet. I'm waiting to see some of the final starting lineups to come out. You know, we sort of circled that one today with the St. Louis Cardinals versus the Kansas City Royals and how much that made sense. That's a 9. So I think that game probably should get over the 9. Talk about 73, 74 degrees. Winds blowing out double digits to left field. I think we're going to get some action in this one. Let me just pull up here, and we'll look at BetMGM and see what that team total is, or maybe a depressed team total here that we might be able to pay down or get a better price on. Let's see what we got here. So go totals. St. Louis, okay. See, not bad. Like 4.5 minus 125 isn't bad. Now, to pay to get to 3.5, that would be a minus 200 price, which means I'll have to score four runs to cash it. It's probably a good bet, but I'm not going to pay the 200 this early in the season. But 4.5 at a minus 125 price, I think makes a lot of sense here.
And now, Don, does that thing also go down to a flat four if you were so interested? And are you ever interested in going to a flat number to grab a push if it could possibly be in range, or do you prefer operate with the
books? Yeah, there's no more flat numbers on these books. Last year, William Hill was the one that was doing it. Like, you literally could get 9, 8.5, 8, 7.5, 7, 6.5, 6, whatever you wanted to pay for it. And that took all of 10 days before I guess they realized that's a bad idea, because people are pounding us right now. Because think about this. Like, some books, and it used to be, I don't want to say, like, old age, right? We're just talking about legal sports books now. They'll give you, hey, I really like this total, Kevin. Oh, yeah, it's 5.5 plus 125. They go, come on, man. Like, give me the real number on that, which is 4.5 at minus 125. So at least there's some books out there. Fox Bet does it as well, where you can get alternate team totals. And the reason I bring this up, like, it's life-altering in gambling here. And it's the same thing, Kevin, that we see in the NFL. Hey, 21, and we'll just use the number here on a half, right? 24.5 plus 105. Come on, man. Give it a 23.5, because you know the 24 is a monster number. Well, book some of them. Now we'll let you pay a little bit to get that real line back up on the board. And a couple of these sports books actually do that, where FanDuel, DraftKings, it's whatever that number is. 4.5, take it. If it's minus 105 or plus 125, it's not changing at all. But other books out there will allow you to change it around. And basically whatever, like, you want to pay to get 1.5 as a team total for the Cardinals, it's minus 800, but you can get it.
Yeah, I mean, those – oh, is the – is that secret sauce situation still?
Yeah, we're gonna start that up. Yeah, we're gonna start that up soon. We're really gonna start that up soon. Maybe, and I guess you're right. Like, you're sort of playing into it where you think something's going to happen. But let me just check this game right now if we have a full game. All right, full game totals. Like, over 3.5 is a minus 1,400. Over 4 for the game, 1,400, which is kind of crazy there. 4.5 minus 800. Those are fun, and we'll get into those a little bit later in the summer when they make more sense.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll be with you right here on Moneyline for the next 2 hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid, we are underway between Detroit and Boston. Kike Hernandez will start this game off. You could absolutely convince me that he is batting like 100, like on the year. I don't feel like I've seen Kike Hernandez do anything so far this season. But again, they're underway in this game. We'll have plenty of more that will have the opportunity to really mix in throughout the day. I wanted to ask, though, Donnie, what is now? Obviously, and again, it's April. Those things get these things get settled out. But have you started to kind of already figure out which books you'll be mainly trusting when it, you know, when it gets to team total season?
Yeah, it's going to be probably 90% BetMGM at this point, because they will allow you to buy down. As I said, FoxBet does allow it as well. And it wasn't too bad, the pricing on FoxBet, when I was just going over just a few days ago at this point. So that's really where I'm going to be dipping into. Obviously, FanDuel's got great odds boosts. We'll, you know, Dinger Tuesday is always a must to try to get after. I sort of have a way that I'm leaning tonight, too, on Dinger Tuesday. DraftKings also. But if you're looking just from primarily team totals, like last year, if I just went through like where my bets were placed, 95% were probably on BetMGM, so I expect that to be the same again this year because of the options that you get. Just getting between those lines where FanDuel, DraftKings, oh, come on, don't give me this 5.5 number, give me the 4.5. That's primarily why. And also, we always have listeners out there that are available. So, as I said, I took the over 4.5 at a minus 130 price. Got a DM on Twitter here that said, first 5 over 4.5 is minus 115 on FanDuel if you're trying to get a better price. So the people out there reaching out with that love. saying,
love,
hey.
Love that. Love
yeah,
that.
See that? Man, people are out there listening. They know what the deal is here. Have some, even though there's one out here in the first inning. I don't like that. Kike.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Come on.
But here's the other thing for the people. Feel free to hit us up, whether that's on Twitter, you know, Donnie, at RightsideVP. You can find myself at the Kevin Walsh. Let us know what you're on today, any questions that you might have for the baseball slate, or feel free to dial up 844-843-6879. That is the Moneyline hotline. Any questions, whether it be the baseball board or maybe even tonight's NBA play-in games, if you got something random, we'll roll with the punches. Feel free, 844-843-6879. Call in to the Moneyline hotline. We are here for the next 2 hours. Previewing the action, anything that's going to be coming on through the table should be a fun show.
Oh, it should be a great show here. And again, we do have a lot of afternoon baseball, just not afternoon baseball that starts before 2 o'clock. So the only game that's going to be live today is going to be this Boston Red Sox-Detroit Tigers game. You got a three-pack here at 4 o'clock, Seattle and Chicago, Cleveland and Cincinnati, and Chicago, the National League version, obviously the Cubs, versus the Pittsburgh Pirates, and a couple games here at 6 before 7 o'clock. I gotta say, I don't know if this is normal, but I actually like what's going on here in Philadelphia. I'm seeing the second straight day, a 6:45 first pitch in Philadelphia. And the only thing I can think of here is it's a very smart business practice, because I remember when I was growing up as a kid, the standard time for a start was 7:35 in Philadelphia, like for any game throughout the summer that was a night. And I think they're actually getting it where kids or parents are saying, hey, you know, attendance is down in you know, April, May, and first parts of June during the week is because it's too late. I take my kid there if I live, you know, 45 minutes from the stadium. He's not getting home till 11:30 at night if we stay all the way. Because how long these baseball games are now, and particularly now with the DH where you don't get those easy outs and more pitchers coming in and all that stuff. So 6:45, I want to say they're doing that to get the extra 15 minutes to say, hey, you know, these games get over a little bit earlier now, and you can take your kids out to the ballpark early in the season. I think it's a pretty good idea.
You know what? You want to talk about something you never thought about before. And immediately sounds like the smartest thing you've ever heard. You need to be starting baseball games at 6 o'clock over here on this East Coast.
Love it.
I mean, the more here's the thing, because as a Yanks fan, there are not many people that are Yankees fans that find getting to Yankee Stadium all that easy. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth of the matter. So for every game to be at 7:05 is a little bit annoying. That, again, is the truth of it. I mean, people get off at 5. How many people that get off of work at 5, go all the way home, get ready, then go? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, you know, and if that, like, there's probably people who get off of work at 3, people that get off of work at 4, maybe people go straight from work, which is fine. Start a baseball game at 6:10.
I like it.
Because that way people can actually try and stay at the stadium. The other thing is, baseball is a more casual sport. Not only for the people going, for the people at home. Typically, I like to always think 9 of the 7 o'clock start times as you finished up dinner. Now you're ready to sit down and watch the game. Baseball's a game you throw on with dinner. To be honest with you, most households, I think, Donnie, probably have TV on while dinner's going on as is. Most households probably would like to throw the Yanks on, the Mets on, the Phils on, et cetera, in the background as they're getting set for their dinner. New rule. Baseball, 6 o'clock start, fantastic.
I do like that. And, you know, with the house I'm in now is I have the kitchen that's open through the living room. So we have the big TV on the wall up high over the fireplace, kitchen table all the time. Position myself, throw the game on, turn it up loud so I can hear it, and I'm sitting there eating dinner, eating lunch, having a snack at the table while the game is on. I agree with that because it used to always be, and the same thing, Kevin, with Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football used to kick at 9 o'clock, and after I said, hold on here. I'm like, this game is finishing up at 12:25 on the East Coast. Like, getting to work, staying up, watching that game, it doesn't make sense in order to do that. So I love it if they started at 6 o'clock, because also keep in mind, we're talking baseball, not football. And the reason I bring this up is football is intertwined in community, in every Sunday, here's what I do, which is why the games aren't impacted, because they're 1 and 4 o'clock typically on a Sunday. You go down there all afternoon, you make a day of it, you have some fun, and they're season ticket holders. So baseball, typically, the typical fan, you might be a season ticket holder, but you might have it split with 5 different guys. You might have one of those, hey, let me get that 10-game plan where it's only weekends or Thursday nights or Fridays or whatever it is, where the reason I'm bringing this up is most people don't work a 9-to-5 and then go every single baseball game right after it. See what I'm getting at here? Like Yankee Stadium, right? Like I'm a season ticket holder for the Yanks. I go to every single game. That's pretty rare. Some people might do that, retired or have more money and don't actually work a normal job. But most of the people buy tickets one time a year, 2 times a year, 3 times a year. And the reason I bring this up is if you say to yourself, okay, Yankees and Red Sox in August. Just bought those tickets. Can't wait. It's August 4th. That time, Kevin, starts at 6 o'clock. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're planning for it, right? It's not a surprise. Like, oh, my God, 6 o'clock. I work till 6. I can't even go to that game. No. You're probably going to say, you know what? Leaving early today. Pick up the boys early. We'll head down to the stadium. We'll have a good time. So the 6 o'clock, the 7 o'clock, it doesn't make that big of a difference. But if you did make it at 6, people would adjust to that. Not everybody works till 7. Oh, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been a season ticket holder for 30 years for the Yankees. Every game starts at 7. Now I can't go. Is that what? One person out of 20,000 would say that?
Right. No, 100%. 100%. You would at the end of the day, I think you are increasing attendance, and that's what you're looking for, right, with a decision like this. But I think, I don't know, it just – where would people say no? Be like, that's abnormal. That's not what I'm used to. That's not what I'm accustomed to. But here's the other thing as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you kind of can get this right, would you rather miss the first 2 innings or the last 2 innings? Well, the first 2.
Yeah,
I'll get
sure.
there at the third if that's what it comes down to. If hoping the game is good. If you, sure, it's not ideal. You get to the ballpark and it feels like the game's decided. 6-0 one team. All right, that's less.
There's nothing worse than leaving early. Like I said, most people have to get up in the morning, both kids and adults, for work and or school. And every half hour makes a massive difference. If you started the game at 6 and a long game lasted till 9, like, man, that's perfect. When you start the game at 7 and a long game, hey, it's 10:38. Well, I'm not even going to be home till 11:38 now. Oh, tomorrow's going to be a terrible day. Yeah, come on, stop.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Look, we are coming up against the break, though, right here on Sports Grid Radio. Don't forget that number is 844-843-6879. Call on in. That's the Moneyline Hotline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big day with you here on this Tuesday. Items are going to fly by. I can't help myself, though, when I get caught up on an idea just based on something we were recently discussing. While I know this isn't necessarily topical, anything is topical if you make it. Monday Night Football, Donnie, you mentioned how it used to be, right?
Yes.
9 o'clock
yeah.
start, they adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, right? Now, I don't think I actually did it last year, but it was usually a nice little tradition. Every year, they would have the Monday night week 1 doubleheader. Everybody seemed to agree they should keep the doubleheader. They never kept the doubleheader. Where do you land on the Monday night football doubleheader being potentially, and, I can't say 17 per year because obviously things change, but a staple of the NFL season on a regular basis?
I like it, but I only like it if they take away the Thursday night game. If you take away the Thursday night game, I think it's fantastic. Like, if I'm commissioner of the NFL, it's be wildly popular to have a doubleheader on Monday night. And again, so what, Don, you don't even like to stay up late. It's not really always about what I want or I like. You're talking about what the ratings would be and what people are excited for. The NFL is a different breed than anything else where you'd say, okay, college basketball Pac-12 game, 10:30 at night. Yeah, nobody's staying up for that because nobody cares about the Pac-12 late at night. It might be a cool like hashtag, Pac-12 after dark, everything's going crazy, even though nobody sees it. That's why it's cool, right? Nobody, Pac-12 after dark. Yeah, it means nobody watched it and you watch it the next day. So, take taking a look at the NFL, Thursday Night Football is an abomination. It just is. And I know that it makes money because it's the NFL and we will watch anyway. But the NFL is so hypocritical in one fashion where until this year, players could not have, Kevin, two helmets. Think about that. You would let a player play on a Sunday night football game and then put him on the road on Thursday for Thanksgiving, but they can't have two separate helmets because you're afraid they might get a different concussion, which sounds so ridiculous that you might as well just say, you can't have two sets of shoulder pads. You can't have two sets of cleats. You can't have two sets of knee pads or thigh pads because that might be an injury because you're not used to wearing that, which was so ridiculous, it did not even make sense. So my effect is, if you take away the Thursday game, which is such a poor product where these guys aren't, number one, prepared for the game because they don't have enough time to get ready. We're used to a seven-day work week in the NFL, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, and then you play on Sunday. Whereas if you took that away and you doubled up on Monday night, everything would get better. Play would be better. Teams would be better prepared. Injuries would go down. You wouldn't be run ragged in the middle of the season where what's one of my betting philosophies? Don't ever touch a road team on a Thursday night because it's not fair. And I would love it. So give me a doubleheader on Monday Night Football and strip away the Thursday game. Absolute home run. Let college football have Thursday night. Let them have it.
You know, that's kind of the issue, right, with the idea. I mean,
that's the second one. Rockets all over, by the way, in this Boston game, just right at people.
Yeah, what's the what do they call that, Don? Like, I don't know, there's some advanced statistic where it's like the hit percentage in field or batting average
of balls in play. Yeah, BABIP, batting average of balls in play. Yeah, exactly. Where's the BABIP here where you're hitting rockets in the left side of the infield out here? Just throwing stones between the third baseman and the shortstop. Where's Alec Bohm when you need him in this game? Probably had three runs across at this point. So that's nuts.
Mr. Three Errors.
Yeah. So we're closing in now. Hopefully they can start to do some work in this fashion. But, yeah, the NFL, I mean, they can't do anything. Whatever the NFL could come on 7 days a week, and we would all say, that's so stupid. The Tuesday night game is dumb, and we'd all watch it anyway. It's just a different breed of sport where another, you know, league can't necessarily get away with that.
Yeah, I think the problem is, you know, it's the Thursday night thing kind of eats itself up, right? Well, the game's going to be inherently bad. All right, so maybe we should put the better teams on. Well, no, their games are more important, so don't put the better teams there. All right, so we're going to put the worst team, so it's even worse. Oh, boy.
Correct.
Like, this doesn't really work, right? But the thing is, if, you know, kind of from a, not even a content perspective, if I picked up tomorrow and switched careers, that, you know, oh, Thursday night game's on, sweet. Oh, Monday night game's on, sweet. It helps fill out the week. It goes by quicker when there's a Thursday night game there. So that's kind of the difficulty for me. Of it all, my thing on the Monday night doubleheader is someone who doesn't mind staying up. One, that's no problem. But I like the game starting earlier as well. I don't know. It adds something for me the Monday night.
Like a 7 and a 10. Yeah, it's not bad. I like the 7 o'clock start. Like, I enjoy that. It's the same rationale. It's okay. Well, we like to be in prime time. Well, explain to me this. You like to be in prime time. Why do you start games at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, then, NFL, if it does not work? See what I, like, you can't do that during the week because people work, but the rationale is, what, are you kidding me? We always got to be in prime time. Well, explain to me your Sunday schedule at 1 and 4 o'clock where you so care about the West Coast, apparently everywhere else, but you hate the West Coast on Sundays, your most important day of the week, because you're starting games at 10 a.m. out there. Explain that.
I think they like it, though. Very bizarre, the West Coasters. Like, I actually wouldn't like that.
Everything else is good except Sunday NFL. I like the 1 and the 4s. Now, the night game, you live with it. It's like, you know, you're winding down your day, 8 o'clock. You know, it's usually a really good football game on Sunday. They try to use that as their marquee game. But I love the East Coast football slate because I enjoy waking up at, you know, 9 o'clock on a Sunday, and I'm not rushed. I can't imagine living on the West Coast going, okay, I got to get up at like 5 a.m. so I'm not rushed for the football slate. That's tough.
Yeah, that's why I think West Coast people, like, their days all start earlier because they're programmed through the NFL to have that. I think that's when the days begin. Yeah, man, I do, you know, and it's funny too, like, we talk about this even through the pure gambling lens, but when you're going out there, you're betting win totals or whatever in the NFL, like, you're lining up the schedule, hey, any primetime games, any road primetime games, is it Thursday, is it Monday, how many short weeks, how many rest advantages for this team. Like, that stuff you always kind of have to figure. And I'll never forget, there was one year the Eagles, I think, played three consecutive teams that off of their bye week. I was like, that's not possible. Like, there's like, there are teams here who will play zero people coming off of a bye 3 weeks in a row. The Eagles are seeing an opponent that just finished up a bye week. Like, how does this schedule kind of get made? And, you know, it's basically like, listen, we just kind of got to fill this thing out of here, you know, not put anyone's lives in danger, and it's a job well done. Like, I mean, that's kind of the deal with that schedule, right? We've got requirements to hit. I mean, goodness me. I mean, Donnie, how many years into this business do you think it'll be before you figure out how they come up with the game, the 17th game, if ever?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'll ever know how they come up with the 17th game on an NFL schedule.
I don't know either, but the fact of the matter is, you know, so many years, and I still will do it this year. The schedule, actually, schedule's coming out pretty soon. They usually, like, throw it down, like, oh, it's going to be out on, like, this Thursday or something like that, and I try to have a opening night, like, hey, we're going to go, yeah, come on, man, just leak this out, and the Giants and the Jets always come out first and have to wait for everybody else, and then you're supposed to wait for the 8 o'clock show, which is ridiculous, but the first thing I look at, and I get angry about, is, where is the Thursday night game? Did the Eagles get one home, or they get it away? Because I go, oh, that's a win, or that's a loss, without looking at the team, who's hurt, who's injured, I don't care. And I think it was three or four straight years where the Eagles had a Thursday road game, and I was just losing my mind. And then it all sets in for me, because if you're usually an NFL owner, you say to yourself, I'm calling up the NFL here. I said, you know this is inherently unfair what you're doing to my team, and you keep doing it. And then I realized the NFL goes, no matter where, like, let's just say the Eagles, the Steelers, or whoever would have four straight Thursday night road games year to year to year, and they go, well, my money, that check is still the same, whether we're home or away at that point. And that's when I realized, like, it's really a true business for NFL owners, as opposed to kicking and screaming, saying this isn't fair. Because if it was, the first thing you would do as an owner of a franchise, go, well, let me get this straight. We're supposed to be an equal marketing brand out here. You throw the Dallas Cowboys on the best slot on Thanksgiving every single year, and they're home every year. They don't go on the road. And the Dallas Cowboys never play a true road Thursday night football game. And if I'm an owner in that division, I kick and scream and, like, file a lawsuit saying, this is not fair. But at the end of the day, they go, this is the best business practices. This is why we make big money. The Cowboys are expected to be on Thanksgiving Day. And then every NFL owner goes, cool. Even if it costs me a division, or, you know, they have a leg up on the schedule every year, all good, man. I could buy another, you know, shore house in the Jersey Shore or the south of France or in Spain, whatever. And that's when I realized, you know, a couple years ago, which you already knew, this was a big business where I thought owners would care more, because I kick and scream, and it doesn't seem like anybody else does. So it's true business.
If there was ever any doubt, when they announced in season, no negotiation, hey, we've agreed to present you ESPN playoff Monday Night Football, is when you went, oh wow.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Like, the playoff team that gets slotted on Monday night, which ended up being the Super Bowl champions, ironically enough. The playoff team that gets slotted on Monday night is at a disadvantage. That's bananas. And there was it. I felt as if I was screaming in a glass case. Like, I was like, nobody else seems to care. This is irrelevant. Like, and it was just kind of what it was, right? And that's kind of was, again, one of those eye-opener things. If you needed it. Look, once again, we are live on Moneyline. You feel free to call on in at number 844-843-6879. We are very much so ready to talk about anything that is not Tigers, Red Sox. Six
so
up,
much for having
six
fun.
Down for both of these baseball teams. I mean, you've got a couple of perfect games being tossed. Like, Donnie, what's the 2x2?
Yeah.
What are we doing here, man? What are we doing here with this thing? We are right up against the break. Can we throw a live number at people? What do these things even look like here? Like, you have a live odds.
Get to the calls after
game?
This. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, we 100% will. We will. But what is going on with Tigers Red Sox? Golly. All right, we'll take some calls on the other side. We'll preview some games on the other side. All coming up right here on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside, this is Money.
Ooh, did they hit you with a fresh odds boost on FanDuel?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And Donnie Wrightside.
All right, let's keep it moving here. Phone lines are open once again, 844-843-6879. That is the Moneyline Hotline. On with us right now from Ohio is Christian. Christian, thanks for calling in, man. What's on your mind?
Not much, man. I just want to let you guys know I really enjoy the show. But I was seeing, what do you guys think about the Cardinals going on another run, how they did at the end of the season last year?
I'll tell you right now, Christian. I know you got two questions for us, so stick with us here. As far as the Cardinals go, it's a team I like. It's an organization I like. Consistent winners. They've been doing it for a long time. And if you pushed me for an overreaction four games in, I'd probably give you the Milwaukee Brewers aren't a playoff team as one of them, Donnie. I don't mind Cardinals futures whatsoever. We did our win total for the pick six. Theirs was 84.5. I certainly gave that some consideration.
Yeah, and also last year, Christian, if you remember, that Kevin did not like the St. Louis Cardinals at all last year to make the playoffs. So you're talking to a guy that backed the Cardinals all year long. But having said that, I actually think it's a little bit easier for the Cardinals this year than it was last year. I don't think the Cubs are as good. The Reds traded away a lot of pieces. The Pittsburgh Pirates are the Pirates. I don't even think the Brewers are as good as they were last year. So in order to get into the playoffs and to make a run, you got to win your division primarily. And I think it's going to be easier for them to do that this year than in the past few years. So I do think the Cardinals have a legitimate shot this year in the NL.
Awesome.
What else you got, my guy?
Thinking too, you know, they had a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Finish it. What do you got?
I was saying, yeah, I was like, that's what I figured. You know, I seen all the trades go on in division, and, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates do nothing as usual. So I figured, you know, this April baseball, I don't want to let these first games, you know, dictate what their season is going to be, you know. But I figured that they'd be a good team this season. But another question I had was, I hear you guys talk about all these ISO power numbers and XFIP numbers, and I can never find out where you guys get them from. Because I tried to Google and do all my research, but you guys seem like you have it all on one page.
I'll tell you what's interesting about that, too, Christian. I'll go first with this real quick. One of the best websites that you can use is Fangraphs out there. Very easy to use, but very cumbersome with these numbers because the advanced analytical stats are all there. But I have to say, with the advent of daily, you know, fantasy gambling, those websites, and I'm sure you can pick, you know, one of 5, 10, or 15 of those are sensational and making it so easy for you, Christian, to line up cards. Like whether it be RotoWire, RotoGrinders, there's a lot of really good websites out there, particularly fantasy baseball, that will line up today's lineups versus those pitchers and how they fare. Fantastic stuff to do. So typically, those daily fantasy sites are equally as good as some of the gambling sites out there. What do you got, Kev?
I was just going to say, you know, Christian, to be honest with you, it is, you know, Donnie's done a fantastic job because part of the game is not just to know where to find those numbers, but to how to use those numbers. And Christian, we appreciate your call so much. And we really did. Anything else, feel free. Call in regular basis. Hit us up over on Twitter. You know where
like
to find
that.
Us. And I'll say this to anybody, though, that Donnie, is, you know, you do a great job kind of telling people, like, hey, listen, here's this guy's weighted on base average. And, you know, first-time listener, what is that? What does
exactly.
mean? And you've done a really nice job because I know that it's been something that I've needed to kind of have it explained and start to get accustomed to the purpose of those numbers. That way you can use them effectively.
No, exactly. And when you're talking about different sports, the greatest part about baseball is it's so stat-driven. And you guys hear me talking about when you're driving around your car just watching the games. You're like, I bet a couple dollars here on Boston and Detroit over. I don't know. It sounds good. It's something to watch on TV. If I win or lose it, it's not going to change my life either way, nor will I get upset. But as these numbers start to pile up, the best part about it and the most excited I get is in the NFL season, like you're watching tape. you are scouring injury reports. You only have 16, obviously 17 games now on the schedule to try to take a look at what makes sense. And each and every week, a different opponent where it's like, man, how do I weigh home and away, weather, who's hurt, who's playing well, who's on the road? In baseball, you just bring up the stats that you're comfortable with. You hit a refresh button when you wake up in the morning. It's like, boom, it's all laid out in front of me. And also, one of the more important things as well is get some of these sites that tell you immediately when the starting lineups come out. Because anybody who's a gambler, you always want to get the best prices. And if you're saying to yourself, hey, I really want to bet the Los Angeles Angels tonight, I'm going to fire at 11 a.m. Well, I might save myself, you know, dollars either direction, because by 2:15 in the afternoon, when Mike Trout is not in that lineup and I already bet the Angels, oh, why did I do that to myself? So that also is very important to know where these guys are actually playing, when they're playing, and how to find out where or what website they're actually playing at.
Yeah, it's a lot to get used to, but that will come in time. Let's get a round of applause.
Yeah.
Here.
We were waiting on a, I was waiting on a web gem here. I was waiting on the web gem. Now hold on. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Now hold on. Now hold. He's going to get a clap. He's got a base hit. Why isn't he on third base? Why aren't we on third base here?
I didn't see the play.
Why aren't we on third base?
Why would he be on third base from that?
I don't know. The guy dove and deflected it left. Like, you got to be on, like, by the time it hits the ground, you're at first base. I'm surprised, man. I think, you know what? First rule of baseball, hustle. I think kid was watching that one. This could be it.
Hold on a minute now. I got to tell you
something. I'm catching some slander on that. He's catching slander on that.
This guy, Stantonian, hits a ball into, you know, like, not a gap, but, you know, like, into the hole in one of the infields. It's ultimately snagged. It's on to second. It's on to first. And, I mean, it's not even a close play.
Yeah.
It's not even a close play. To which I, overreactionarily, you know, intentionally asked, is he the slowest professional athlete? Now, I received some good replies on a couple of answers. Donnie, I throw you that question on the fly. Slowest professional athlete. Who comes to mind? Even if it's maybe not the concrete answer, who comes to mind?
Like now or like in previous? Like now, like I watched a game last night with Miguel Sano going, do you understand that in baseball you have to stay in shape and you should stretch and you should be able to at least jog around the bases? Like that one I was watching last night. But I can't I'm going to remember the guy because this had to have been. I remember watching it late night. It was a Seattle Mariners game, and I had a team total. And it looked like, you know, I was on the fray of probably not, like, getting the damage done. There was two outs in a ball game here. And I'm just watching, is this bloop going to get down? Get down. There we go. Blooper got down here. Yeah, it did. Torkelson, I mean, he doesn't get a good read on it. Only ends up at third.
What are you turning the corner, brother? Where did you think he was going, the Torque man?
But anyway, this game with, and I can't remember the team they were playing, but it was I think it was a Korean player, big guy, just slow wheels. And this was one of those, Kevin, where I needed one more run. It was the bottom of the eighth inning. Now, granted, they probably had the lead and they were the home team. So this was my last shot at it. I think he drew like a walk. And if I tell you, the next guy up put a double in the gap. And when I tell you a double, one of those, Kevin, that perfectly splits the outfield and goes slow enough where it just ends up at the wall, like no bounce back. Like the guy has to run all the way up and pick it up like right next to the wall. And they threw him out at the plate. And I think I woke my entire house up because I had to watch the replay like 30 times going, I'm not sure I understand like what just happened. Now, I respected the third base coach knowing that this guy was so slow, but it's still two outs and we're going to try it. But I swear it was one of those, Kevin, where you pick the ball up at the wall and they can show they have that balance on the TV of where the ball is at, where the player is at, but where the guys, like they take a picture of him like rounding second base, like getting close to third. And I swear that this guy had actually touched third base by the time the ball was picked up in the outfield. And by the next screenshot, I was like, did he stop? Is he just crawling? And he was thrown out by a step. And I have to find it myself of who it actually is. I don't even know how I can find it out, but I will find it out. The slowest man that cost me money. And like for an hour later, because some of the loss is not really about the money. Like you go to bed at night and you can't, like you're tossing a turn and going, how did I lose that? And now I got to win a game tomorrow and all that pressure that has to begin with it. But the fact of the matter is, this guy got got thrown out by the most perfect double that you could ever have, and I couldn't believe it was happening.
I've tried to tell people that, right? Because some people, there's this notion. Consig's kind of talked about it at times, I know. The loudest person in the room somehow always has the fewest amount of dollars. I've been around people of all different levels of wagering. It's just about the person is what I really often find. And a lot of times, it's really always about how it comes. It's not like, for example, the Sunday night baseball Yankees loss on an over 8.5. Mm-hmm. It is still, look, again, I mean, not in transparency, it's tweeted out, you can count it. I went 1-7 yesterday, 1-7, and was nowhere near as annoyed when I was on a winning day on Sunday at the Yankees game, because still in my heart of hearts, that game goes over if they start DJ LeMahieu. Like, it's little things that eat at you, Donnie, that, like, you know, and like Jaylen Brown, right? Like, you lose him by the hook. You're like, this can't be happening. Have a terrible game. Don't, like, randomly have your first 62% at the free throw line performance. Those are the things that kind of weigh on you as it pertains to, like, how you take a bet, how well you take it or not. The other thing I had to say, though, on the Stanton thing, which I thought, popped me a little bit, he's a Yanks fan. A buddy of mine actually had replied to the tweet saying, I think they tell him not to run because he's so injury prone. If that's true, Don, how old is Stanton? 32?
Yeah,
if they
not
told
ancient.
This 32-year-old, hey, listen, we don't care if you beat out potential double plays that can potentially help us win games because you're so likely to be injured, we'd rather you jog. I'm going to be sick to my stomach.
Yes, and I remember that came in before where it was like they used to say, you know, Jimmy Rollins never busted out of the box because they physically told him, don't ever run hard to first because we can't have you injured. So even if it means like beating out a double play, just jog down the line. And I always use, yeah. It's almost like the equivalent of telling the pitcher, telling the quarterback in football, hey, regular season, it's 4th-and-1. Like, don't even get the first down. You're more important to us like the season. Like, that doesn't make sense. But it's just the way some of the athletes do it. And that was his thing. Like, wow, you didn't bust it out of the box. They told me I didn't have to here. And I think I found the guy here. I think I'm gonna
here
find
it is.
Is this dating back? Wow, 2016. Let's see what we got here. Where did the name go here? It can't be, though. Is this the guy? Day Ho Lee, 6'4", 250. Sounds
Whoa,
about
that's
right.
A big boy.
Now, yeah, let me do some research on this because when I bring up moments in my life that I need back where I might be able to find my own Twitter reactions there, let me see if I can do some research over the break here to see if I can bring that one up.
Yeah. While you do that, I will tell people this. What people have missed out on, and we talk about events, people want to watch Tyreek Hill race, Brandon Cooks. Slow people racing
Ooh.
Is probably even more entertaining. Oh, bounce down!
Ooh, yeah.
Where are you?
Now that was nice. Scope, baby, scope it out. We're opening it up, boys.
There it is.
Yeah.
Scoop it. All right.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here's what I'm going to do. I don't want to do it at the top of hour two again, Donnie. Remember yesterday I gave you the Omnis Day calendar nightmare. They basically put, the whole outfield was fans, random ground rule, double rule, darkness cancels the game. Can I give you today's, this day in history, on my little sports calendar here?
Go.
The 12th of April, it is 1952, 70 years ago, in game one of the NBA Finals, at the St. Paul Auditorium, Al McGuire of the Knicks hits a, quote, phantom basket against the Minneapolis Lakers. In the first quarter, McGuire drives to the basket, gets a foul as he releases the shot. The ball plainly goes through the hoop, but official Sid Borgia calls for a two-shot foul because neither he nor the second official saw where the ball went. The call proves to be critical as McGuire misses both free throws and the Lakers win 83-79 in overtime. The series will go seven games with the Lakers taking the championship.
Oh.
What's
that? Phantom?
You mean to tell me that basically in 70 years ago, like a ref's head could have been in the clouds, wasn't watching the game, and they go, psh, two fouls, man. Come on. Head to the line here.
Yeah.
Like, it went in, Sid.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Pennies, pal.
I didn't see that one here. Peace.
In the finals, Donnie?
Yep. Biggest moments here. Ref's like, I'm good. Hey, get some help over here. You need some help? How about you convene and talk to the other? Yeah, I'm good with that one, right?
They say, Donnie, they asked the other official. And the other official's like, I didn't see it, sir.
I didn't see it either. Andrew Hernandez, like, hey, by the way, that thing went, yeah, no, it didn't. I wave it off, put him at the line.
Now, hold on. Now, did you? I couldn't have been duped again, right? I think there's a video, Donnie, Angel Hernandez dancing in the middle of a pitch.
Oh.
The pitcher was trying to deliver to the plate.
Ooh.
Now, did you see that, Donnie? Or am I making that up, too?
No, I think you're making
hold
that up.
Hold on a minute. Oh, I got to see if I'm duped.
What was that
for? Hour number two. A
certain website?
Here we go.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.